Brian is off with our youth at Dogwood Acres this weekend for their youth retreat, so our thoughts and prayers for them as well. Our unison reading is 1 Timothy 1, 6 through 19. Actually, it's 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 19. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 19. And all those Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, you remember their alphabetical order. T-H-T-M-T-I. T, so 1 Timothy 6, page 210 of our scripture. No, that's, yes. Beginning with verse 6 in the middle of the paragraph about false teaching and true riches, it begins, of course, there's great gain in godliness. Let's have a word of prayer. God, give us wisdom as we explore this passage again about the beauty of the life that is life when we share and know Jesus Christ. Amen. Beginning with verse 6 and reading through verse 19. Of course, there's great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you were made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, it is he alone who has immortality and dwells in inapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The word of the Lord. Hear now God's word from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. The word of the Lord. Do you know the name Sam Rayburn? Sam Rayburn served in Congress for over 50 years, from the time of Woodrow Wilson until John F. Kennedy's term. But his greatness, they said, was not in the office that he had and he held, but his common touch and concern for everyday folk. One day he heard that a teenage daughter of a Washington reporter had died, and early the next morning he went to the reporter's house, knocked on the door. He said, "I just came by to see if there's anything I can do to help." The reporter was obviously touched. "Here's the Speaker of the House at his front door." And he said, well, thank you, Mr. Speaker, but I don't think there's anything you can do. We're handling all the arrangements." "Have you had your morning coffee yet?" Rayburn asked him. He said, "No, sir." "Well, then I'll come in and make it for you." And he walked in the house, walked through the house, walked to the kitchen, and started to make the morning coffee for this reporter. The reporter was really taken back by all this and said to him, "Mr. Speaker, I thought you were having breakfast at the White House with the president this morning." "Well, I was, but I called the president and told him that I had a friend who was having some trouble, and so I wouldn't be in today." That exemplifies what we're reading about in 2 Corinthians 6, sharing yourself, sharing your resources. Verse 10, it says, "We Christians are regarded as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything." We make others rich in life by sharing our faith, sharing our resources, sharing our attention, sharing our compassion. As the children said, by listening, by sharing ice cream, money, whatever it is, when we share, when we're generous with others, we make them know that they count, that they matter, that somebody knows, that somebody's paying attention. Your service to others, your attention to others, your financial gifts, your volunteerism, all these things enrich the lives of other people. And Paul says they make you rich toward God. Our stewardship theme this year on the front of the bulletin you see is live courageously. That 1 Timothy 6 passage we've looked at for the last 3 years in our stewardship season. First year, we challenged ourselves to live free. Year 2, live simply. Year 3, to live generously. Year 4 now, to live courageously, to go above and beyond what is expected and dare to reach out and try things for the good of others, to the glory of God. Usually, Bible passages about material wealth like these make us Western Hemisphere Christians uncomfortable, because on a global scale, we are the rich. We Americans associate personal success and happiness often with material influence, and we take for granted all the things that we have. Andrew sharing about the Send 56 missionaries who are paid just a little and go to live wherever they might in these villagers, putting their lives at risk, daring to go and serve and preach Jesus Christ in a predominantly Muslim world. We've got it easy here. They are putting it on the line, putting their lives on the line. And we recognize that Jesus often showed preference for the poor, for the outcast, for those who were rejected and not paid attention to, the disenfranchised, and he criticized the rich. But more on point, he challenged the rich who relied on their material possessions for their security and seemed to have little regard for God. He told the rich fool who built bigger warehouses to store all of his stuff. And the rich young ruler who was so proud of his obedience, he obeyed all of the law. And he said, that's not what's most important. Sell what you have and give to the poor. For this man to get rid of anything that stood between him and his dependence on God. It's not asking us to take a vow of poverty. It's asking us to put God above all else in our lives. Jesus does not condemn money. He does not condemn wealth or prosperity. What he condemns is love of money, especially mammon, which is above all else, the eagerness to be rich above all else. The love of money provides temporary satisfaction, but the love of God lasts forever. His point of contention is not about money, but rather about the attitude of the persons holding it. Material wealth can get in the way of you putting your trust in God. It can hinder you following Jesus. Repeatedly, the Bible reiterates that our refuge, our strength, our security, our hope, our joy, our confidence is God, not ourselves. Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not look anxiously about you, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous hand." Psalm 46, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains should slip into the heart of the sea." Philippians 4, 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." 1 Timothy 6:17, which we read, "Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies all of our needs and gives us all things to enjoy." By resisting greed, by living simply, by being content with the basics, followers of Jesus can be generous. And when we're generous, Paul says to Timothy, we store up treasures in heaven. We store up treasure that leads to the life that really is life. For generosity is not a burden, it's a blessing. It gives you a richer, fuller life here, and invest your heart and soul and mind in God and God's people. It's sharing yourself. It's sharing your resources. It makes others rich in life as we meet their needs. Sometimes it helps them be rich in faith, rich in trust toward God. They learn to depend on the God who has taken care of us. And by sharing God's love with other people, and by sharing the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, you can add hope and meaning and purpose to their lives. You make people rich when your love and service shows them that they are important, when others tell them they're not. Your love and service and giving shows them that they matter, when other people tell them that they don't. You make people rich when you help them realize they mean something to God and to you and to us. Your service to others, your attention, your financial gifts, your love, your volunteerism, all of this enriches the lives of others while making you rich toward God. As followers of Jesus, we give to the church, to charities, to things far and wide. We give our service, we give our attention, because we know that all of life is a gift from God, a gift to us to enjoy and to build upon and to share with others. We didn't earn our salvation by our own good works. We don't earn blessings from Christ. Our hope, our joy, our salvation, our gifts, they're all gifts to us in God, from God. And as we have taken hold of the life that really is life, as we have taken hold of life in Jesus Christ, the life that is life indeed, we can show others how to do likewise. Our example shows them how to be rich in good deeds, rich in generosity, rich in love, love and caring and sharing and attention. How we use our money says much about who we are and what motivates us and for whom we live. I've been fortunate to know some really wealthy people. Some of them had money, some of them did not. What made them wealthy was what they did with the money that they had. One made a car payment on a customer's car when the customer was out of work, just to tie him over. Another paid for family counseling for a dysfunctional family in our church. They were thriving because of that love and care. Another that forgave the balance of a loan to an elderly woman who was his parents' caregiver, his housekeeper. Another bought tires for a young couple's car. A man named Charlie Noel came into my office in Tennessee periodically, and he always brought a check. And he said, I want you to use this for somebody who needs some help. No strings attached, except you can't tell them where it came from. You can't tell them my name. Rest of the story is Charlie had made and lost fortunes in a farm implement dealership and a fertilizer producer. He had made millions and lost it. And whenever times got tight, God always blessed him with some unexpected money that somebody had given the preacher at the church. And he would come and help Charlie and Margaret. And so in his elderly days now, he was wealthy, he was retired, and he wanted to do the same for somebody else. And whenever he would say, they need some help, don't tell them where it came from, just tell them a Christian friend wants to help out. And if I ever come up to you in church or in the public, or we drank coffee together at Wakefield's drugstore with the men in the afternoon, and Charlie was on my case one day, and I said, Charlie, if you don't stop, I'm going to tell everybody the good things you do and ruin your reputation. He would come up and he'd say, how's my friend Charlie doing? Which was code for, do you need some more money? True wealth is measured not by how much you have, but by what you do with what you've got, by the generosity you show to others out of love and compassion and as a witness to what God has done for you in your life. To quote an old saying, there's no trailer hitch on a hearse. You can't take it with you. The only treasures you keep are those that you've given away. Don't lay up your treasures for yourself on earth where moth and rust consume, Jesus says, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither rust consumes and where thieves don't break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. As followers of Jesus Christ, we have the pleasure of making others rich in life and rich toward God. The Apostle Paul wrote in verse 10, we commend ourselves as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. He said to those who tormented us, you know, whippings and shipwrecks and torments, and they thought we had nothing, they thought we'd lost everything, they thought they'd gotten the best of us, but they never did, because we've got the love of God in our hearts, and we have something to share. He says, he commends himself and his colleagues in ministry for enduring afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, tumults, labors, sleeplessness, and hunger. And then he describes the character, the traits that help them endure. Purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, genuine love, truthful speech, the power of God, righteousness toward all persons. All of this, he said, this is the courage that we had. This was the courage of our faith, courage to witness who we are and who we represent, servants of God, maybe sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet possessing everything. It's the secret they don't know that we know for having known Jesus Christ. The beauty is we too can have the same courage. We too can have the same convictions. We too can have the same generosity. Whether we're rich or whether we're poor, whether we're young, whether we're old, whether we're educated or uneducated, no matter our circumstance, no matter our situation, we can still make others rich. How? Offer yourself lock, stock, and barrel to God and say, I'm yours. Use me as you will. Use what I have as you will. Help me to bless others, God, with what I have. Not just my money, but my experiences, my witness, my faith journey, my community service, or my education, or my friendships, or my emails, or my text messages, or my phone calls, or my letters, or my words of encouragement. Use everything that I have to enrich the lives of others, God, and I'll do it for you. Ask him how you can allocate your spiritual resources and your materials of goodness and your circles of influence to bless others in Pensacola and in Escambia County and to the ends of the world. Show others that they are important, that they matter. Listen to them, speak with them, laugh with them, hug them, comfort them. Show that they matter to God and to you by your love and care and attention. Unfortunately, many people don't think that they count. Nobody's ever told them or shown them that they matter. Your service, your attention, your volunteerism, your financial gifts, your help, your witness of what God has done in your life makes them rich toward God. You may give millions to make new jobs possible. You may simply go to a reporter's house or a neighbor's house to make coffee. You may volunteer at Trinity, or Loaves and Fishes, or United Ministries, or the Women of Clear Vision Shelter, or My Father's Arrows, any of the places our partners in ministry. How you use your gifts and character to help other people, you are displaying the courage to be generous. In sharing your love and attention, your money, you show people that they're important and that they mean something to God. So my challenge to you before now and Thanksgiving, which we will celebrate, before we consecrate our tithes and offerings to God, November 3rd, I encourage you to count your blessings, consider your money, your talents, your resources, your abilities. Literally, count your blessings. Many of us don't realize how much stuff we have until we need to move it or pack it or clean it. Do an inventory of your house, of your assets. Write down your bank accounts and their balances. List your investments, your cars, your home, your insurance policies, your furniture, your possessions in your house. How many TVs do you have in your house? How many food stocks do you have in your pantry? Ask yourself, how has God blessed me? Oh my goodness, look at all that I have. Include on the list your family, your friends, your money, your pets, your work, your food, your security. You'll start to realize how much you possess and how many things God has provided for you to enjoy and to share. Thank God for the material possessions that you have and also the ability to work and to earn and to serve others, to provide for yourself and your family and for a few others too. And thank God that you have extra to share. If you use your money and your possessions only to serve yourself, you starve your soul and you fuel your ego. But if you recognize your wealth, your possessions, your all that you have, your comforts, your joys, your talents, your abilities, your education, your mind, your heart, your soul, these are all gifts from God to be used to help others, you become richer for it. So I encourage you, I challenge you, live courageously. Dare to be generous. God will provide. Make others rich too. To God be the glory. God, it's all that easy, isn't it? And all that hard. Help us then to recognize what we have to share for the good of others, the glory of your name. Amen and amen.